Bibles tonight and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. I huddled with the fellows up here just a moment ago. I know Brother Johnson's been up here just about all day working on the cantata that's coming up. I know crazy Brother Tyler had RU Friday and decided he didn't have anything better to do but to have a lock-in Friday night with the other workers and stayed up all night, amen, but a couple got saved, amen. Made it worth it all. But I reminded them, like I used to remind my students, John, you won't remember this, the world is run by tired people. Now, they didn't appreciate that at 7 o'clock in the morning. But it's true. The world is run by tired people. By the way, I've learned over the years, ladies and gentlemen, there's a good tired and there's a bad tired. When we were serving the devil, that was a bad tired. But when we serve the Lord, amen, that's a good tired. So you fellas try to stay awake. You're the only two that need to stay awake here. I can't fire anybody else. Can't do that anyhow. Amen? To do that. 2 Chronicles, please, chapter 14. By way of introduction, obviously Old Testament. You know, there are some preachers and there are some churches that don't even believe in the Old Testament. They don't even believe that's part of the Bible. I'm glad I got the whole canon of Scripture, 66 books. Amen? Somebody has well said, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Where you find a principle in the New Testament, you can find an illustration of that principle in the Old Testament. Paul said it well in chapter 10, verse 6 of 1 Corinthians, talking about a story in the Old Testament. He says that these things are examples. So when we look at what we're going to look at tonight are going to be examples for us. Old Testament, but truths there, examples to us. Before we read verse 1 and 2, a little review. Let me take you to where we're at when we get to chapter 14. You recall the nation of Israel was not happy with a theocracy. They came to Samuel and said, we want to be like the other nations. By the way, folks, it's okay for the boat to be in the water, but when the water gets in the boat, we're in trouble. It's okay for the church to be in the world, but when the world gets in the church, we're in trouble. We want to be like everybody else, and so God said to Samuel, let them go. They're rejecting me, not you. And you know the story. For about 120 years, it was a united kingdom. About equally of 40 years with Saul, you know his sad story. And then David, and then David's son Solomon. And then at the end of those 120 years, you had the divided kingdom. You had the southern kingdom called Judah. We'll be concentrating on one of those kings. Consisted basically of the tribe of Judah and Benjamin. Then you had the northern kingdom. We're called Israel. Made up of the other 10 tribes. Sad to say that from the northern kingdom, 19 kings, according to God's word, there was not one that did good. Thank the Lord in the southern kingdom, and we're about to see one of them. There's one king. The first one that we're going to look at, the great grandson of Solomon, Asa by name, that did good. Now look with me, please. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verses 1. In verse 2. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years. By the way, if you do right with God, you'll have even peace with your enemies. But look at verse 2, please. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. From the life of King Asa, I'm going to give you a word or two. I want you to hang on with it, that we might learn from this first good king of the southern kingdom by the name of Asa. Notice, please, the Bible says, and Asa did that which was good and right. The first word I want to give you tonight is simply this, doing. Would you say that after me, please? Doing. He did that which was right and good. Well, what did he do? Let's read a few scripture right after that. Look at verse 3. For he took away the altars of the strange gods in the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves. He restored the worship as God intended them for to do, and he had to get rid of a lot of idols that got into their life. By the way, turn over to chapter 15 and verse 16. I want you to see he means business. He means business when he does that. Verse 16. Chapter 15, and also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa the king. Some say it may have been grandmother, but in either case, he removed her. Look what he did. He removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burnt it at the brook Kidron. He meant business, folks, and taking care of idols, even if it meant his mother, his grandmother, being removed from that. Look in verse 4. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord. And commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandments. My, that's a wonderful thing to be doing. That's our word, our first word. Ought we not do the same? Aren't we not challenged to do the same? What else did he do? You'll notice he had 10 years of peace, and in that time, and you'll see that a few verses down, he built fenced cities in time of peace. By the way, folks, when we have some time, we ought to prepare for what's coming next. Because I promise you it's going to come. And he built fenced cities. He prepared for an invasion. Knew it was going to come. And if you do some math there, he wound up with an army of 580,000 men. Pretty formidable. Hang on to that thought. But Asa did good and right. Listen, good and right go together. Wrong and evil go together. We ought to be doing. I learned early on when I got saved. I guess I got saved in the wrong church. Because my pastor worked me to death. Worked me to death. Simply, he said almost every service, we're saved to serve, but we're not saved to sit. And boy, I sat out there going, what is all this about? Can I tell you that you're saved to serve and not saved to sit, ladies and gentlemen? We should be doing what is good and right. Doing. We should be tearing down some idols. Now, I know what most of you think tonight. Boy, you think of old idols, a big fat Buddha sitting somewhere, and cigarettes or beer. You know, I don't chew, and I don't remember those, you know, all that bit. But wait a minute. I think I know it's a little bit better. We get a little different idols. Now it's going to get quiet. You know what my idol was early on in life? God knew, Satan knew exactly. It was called sports. I played softball every night. Peggy said, Wednesday night we got to go to church. I went, what's this? Thursday night we're supposed to go in a strange thing called soul winning visitation. I got a ball game. You better be careful. God's going to have to work on you, and we need to get rid of some idols. Watch yours. I confess mine. I'll let you do yours later. We should be doing something, ladies and gentlemen, that outlasts us. We should be doing things that are for eternity in sight rather than temporal things. Observing God and obeying God. We ought to be doing something. There's our word, doing, for God that'll live on past our little life. Bob Jones Sr. said, do right until the skies fall. John Wesley said this, I love it. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, for as long as you can. Amen? Do right. Doing. Listening to, boy, what a message this morning. That guy makes me jealous. Took over my job and preaches like that. God bless Brother Dan. But he gave you that part there when Saul was converted. But listen to this. We're talking about first word, doing. When Saul got converted, how do we know he got saved? He said, first of all, Lord. And listen to what he said. You know what? What wilt thou have me to what? Do. Need to be doing. Need to be doing. Close out this first thought. Listen, I've learned the Lord never expects me to do anything he has not been willing to do, folks. Here's the surprise. He's always the supreme example, the epitome of the thought. Acts 10:38, listen to it. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. By the way, that's the only way we're going to do it. We've been studying our class in the fruit of the Spirit only by choice and the Holy Spirit leading us. That's how it gets done. Who went about doing, here's our word, doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I have a question for you. What are you doing? What are you doing for the Lord? I'm going to let you answer that because I got to get moving on to the next word. The next word is seeing. Look at that verse again. Verse 2, chapter 14. And Asa did that which was what? Right and good and right in what? The eyes of the Lord. Wow, what a thought. We serve an omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent God. We forget that, folks. We forget that God is watching us. Amen? Or oh me. By the way, he sees us on our job and in our offices. He sees teenagers when you go on a date and wherever you go, and don't let that off, Mr. Adult. He sees you too. He's watching as we do our income tax getting ready for the 15th and whether we fudge on it or not. God's seen. First word was doing. Second word is seen. Oh, by the way, he sees what we do in our computers. I love to do that because I can't do anything on the computer. But he's watching you. He's watching you. He's seen. Never forget when I first got saved, this truth was driven home to me a little bit. Kind of weird, but I'm kind of weird anyhow, so it's all right. Dear brother, my wife and I and another lady and her husband got saved at the same time. It took God 10 years to get my attention to go full time, but Brother Roy Maple came down here. He and his wife and went over to Arlington. He got his degree, went back to New Carlisle, Ohio, Buckeyes, and started a church. And I'll never forget, the only place he could get to start a church in that little town was, I think it's called the International Order of Odd Fellows. I don't know why they've never tried to recruit me, but anyhow. And you'd climb these steps up to his little storefront, and you'd go in, and he fixed it up, where it had an altar up there where he could preach from, and the chairs are out there. Peggy and I visited. That wasn't our church, but we wanted to support him. And I'm sitting there, and I say, there's something kind of weird in here other than me. And I looked around, and I looked up. And you know what was on the ceiling? You know what the whole ceiling was? A big eyeball. Looking down on you. I don't know if that's their symbol or what. And if you're one of the members of that, I'm not trying to be critical of you. I just remember a big eyeball. Maybe you ought to remember, but in this case, and I'm going to give you some verses here, it's eyes. God's eyes are watching us. When I first started as administrator here, some of you are going to be guilty of this one. We needed some money. Now, fellowship paid me fair and well. Please don't go out here. Why didn't you pay for it? No. By the way, I've learned, folks, if you want to earn money, you have to go out and work for it. Amen? Didn't buy a lottery ticket. Didn't borrow it off somebody. I just got another job. What was that job, Brother Richard? I delivered USA Today newspapers. I had 52 stops. And you know, Brother Rigsby, point A to point B. I'd get them babies out, throw them a rack, get on the next one. Never did shut off my car. By the way, the old boy that took my place, he moved like a dry creek. He got his head boned. Somebody stole some money, but that's another thing. And I had it worked out. I don't know to this day if Dr. Barber ever knows I had that job. But I had a standard. I was going to be here in this building where we started Bible college. I was going to be here at 6 o'clock. It killed me. So I had to deliver 52 stops. I had to get to my house in Burleson. I had to get a shower, get dressed, and be here by 6 o'clock. That was my goal all the time. Well, one morning, I got all of it done. I'm in my car. I'm headed home. I get to that last light. Now, some of you just moved into Burleson. You don't understand that 174 used to sit down if you were headed west, and if you're heading east, it sat up. And I got to the last light before I got home. You ever sit at a light and it seems like eternity before that baby wants to turn? And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at my watch, and I'm sitting there looking at my watch. I got to get out of here. I look straight ahead, didn't see a soul. I look right, didn't see a soul. I look left, didn't see a soul. And I even looked in my rearview mirror, didn't see a soul. And I said, baby, we're out of here. Made the turn. Home free, right? Wrong. Last thing you want to see. I said, desperate, I poured into a Mormon church. Man, I have anybody praying for me. And the officer came up. Of course, I had my stack of papers, the extra ones in there. And he said, sir, what are you doing out this time of morning? I told him, kind of verified that. He said, I want to tell you something, sir. He said, the laws don't change at 4 and 5 in the morning. By the way, there's a freebie. God's laws don't bend for anybody. And I said, yes, sir. And God was gracious. He gave me a warning ticket. Amen? You love them warning tickets. Amen? And before he left, I said, sir, can I ask you a question? Yes, sir. Where were you? And he pointed up in the air. Remember I told you the road set way up high? He said, I was up there. What's the message, Brother Rigsby? Our second word is seen. We look all around and we hide, and we do. We hide things from our principal and our youth pastor. We hide things from our boss and that, but I'm going to tell you something. There's one that sees, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about seen. Listen to the scripture, Job 34:4. For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. Proverbs 5:21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Jeremiah 16:17, for mine eyes are upon their ways, they are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. Zechariah 4:10, they are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. You're right there. Turn over to chapter 16 of 2 Chronicles, just over a page. There's a marvelous verse talking about seeing. By the way, God sees the heart, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Seeing. I'm a little ahead of myself, but we're going to see that Asa messes up in the end of his life. And God sends a prophet to him. In verse 9, chapter 16, we're talking about seeing. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. All folks, can we get the truth tonight that God is watching us? God is seeing us. And we need to be doing right in the sight of our Lord and responsible to him. Word number 3, doing. First word, seeing. Second word, third word I want to give you is praying. Is praying. Now we're in chapter 14 of 2 Chronicles. Why don't you go to verse 9 with me, please? I mentioned a moment ago, in times of peace, he built an army, 580,000 people. He was ready. The Bible says, and there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000. Now, if my math's right, modern or not, that's a million. Army of a million. That's more than what's in all Fort Worth, if you want to think about it. And 300 chariots to boot. And came into Mereshah. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Sephathah and Mereshah. Now, somebody has said God feeds the sparrows. Amen? But Martin Luther says he doesn't throw it up in the nest. We have our part. God has his part. But even though he, and by the way, when I look at a million and know I got 580,000, simple math says I'm about outnumbered 2-1, amen? And I'm already sinning in the battle, but that's not what I'm going to trust in. We're talking about praying. I want you to look at the prayer of Asa for just a moment. Verse 11, the Bible says, and Asa cried unto the Lord. First thing about the prayer, he was sincere. When we cry, folks, and I don't know if that meant he was shedding tears and a broken heart or what, or out of fear, but he cried unto the Lord. That was a serious prayer. I wonder how serious our prayers are. Now I lay me down to sleep, a bag of peanuts at my feet. If I should die before I wake, you know I died of a tummy ache. Huh? Serious prayer. He knew the enemy was outnumbering 2-1. It was sincere. He went and he cried to the Lord. I like it, number two. Look at it. It was direct. The Bible says what? He cried. What? Unto the Lord. He knew who to go to. He didn't call in his generals and say, fellas, we got a problem. They probably already knew that. He didn't call them in and say, what's your battle plan? What are we going to do? Where are we going to put the cannons and the guns and all that? No, he cried. He was sincere directly unto the Lord. Folks, that's where we need to go when we pry. We get in financial trouble. We get in trouble. We want to go to this counselor and that counselor and that. And if you're a counselor, nothing against you. But I'm going to tell you something. The great counselor, the mighty counselor, who we need to go to. I'm talking about praying. Oh, and I love this one. It was to the point. Look what he said. Lord, it is nothing with thee to help. Boy, look at the faith here. Whether with many or with them that have no power. I wonder who he's talking about there. Amen. Help us. Help us. That's the point. Help us. He didn't go some flowery prayer and say, Lord, of all the universe and created all the trees and all the mountains and all the rivers and all that. I mean, we're serious. He said, here's the direct thing. He said, help us. Do we pray that way sometimes? We need help. Lord, it was sincere. It was direct. It was to the point. And boy, I love this one. In faith, believing. Well, some of them TV guys don't. Amen. But it's in the Bible. Look at it. Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God. Look at it. Here's faith believing. For what? We rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. A 50-word prayer, and wow, faith believing, we rest in thee. Can we pray that way? Doing and seeing and praying. I like what Psalm 20 verse 7 says. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. I wish our Veterans Administration over here would remember that. Pray. We're still working on that, Brother Foster. They have said to me, you cannot give any religious material out because of all the lawsuits. We're going to get around it some way. Now, if you see me on Channel 4 and I'm behind bars, remember me. Amen. But folks, listen, I love our veterans. I've never been in any service, but I'm going to tell you, I appreciate all that they've done. And I'm going to tell you something, though. Not because of our men, and God bless them, and the weapons and all the technology God's given us, but I'm going to tell you, it's because God has been behind it all. And we better not forsake thanking him. Oh, what a prayer. Spurgeon said, now my message is complete, Brother Tyler. I'm quoting Spurgeon. Our unbelief, think about it, ties the hands of God's omnipotence. Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, the father of the son of the dumb spirit said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. The last thing about the prayer, here's the neat thing. Folks, it got answered. Amen. Look at that next verse. Look at that next verse. So the Lord, that's who did it. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah. And the Ethiopians, let me use a paraphrase, hightailed it. Amen. Do it. Doing, seeing, praying. And the last is more of a couple of words rather than one word I want to give you. The life of Asa. Here's the phrase, forgetting, and not finishing well. Forgetting and not finishing well. Chapter 16, please. What a marvelous victory God gave them. A prayer of belief. But you know, sometimes, folks, we get, I believe I'm going to say, he got royal amnesia, regal amnesia. Later in his reign, in the 6th and 30th year, verse 1, chapter 16 of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come into Asa, king of Judah, about 10 miles north of Jerusalem. He's building this fort-like thing to keep people coming in. That's a threat. Asa understands that's a threat. Asa from the northern kingdom. And don't you think, after what he went through years before, he'd have got back on his knees and went to God again in faith, believing in the Lord? You did it before, you can do it again. Amen? Don't you think that's what he'd do? Didn't do it. Look what he did. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord into the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwell at Damascus, saying, "There is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me." He forgot about God. His pride got him to do it his way. Before we sit there and be critical of Asa, have we not been guilty of that, ladies and gentlemen? God has brought us through crisis after crisis. God has brought us through some tough times. And we come up against another one and we say, you know what? God just can't do it anymore. Been there, done that? Oh, I'm going to tell you that he could. But I'm going to tell you what happens, because he had amnesia. Verse 7, look at it, please. God sees all. Remember our word? And God sends a man named Hanani. Verse 7, at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand." Because he was prideful, we'll not read the rest of the verses there as such. He was wroth with the man of God who told him straight. He put him in prison. He became very harsh to his people. God struck him down at the end of his life, the last couple of years, with a disease of the feet. We don't know. Some think gout. And all I'm trying to say is he forgot. And ladies and gentlemen, he did not finish well. Can I challenge us tonight? We need to finish well. Anybody can start. You've seen the Boston Marathon. 8,000, 10,000 people there. There they go, Brother Greg. Whew, I could do that. I could take me one step across there, man. I started. Oh, but wait a minute. We ought to finish well. I don't want you to think about Brother Falwell. What little pipsqueak am I to judge these men of God that God's used? You may agree or disagree, Brother Falwell. But the last message I heard him preach was this. He said, "I want to finish. I want to finish well." Can that be our prayer tonight, folks? Is to finish well. It's to do whatever we need to do. Finish well. Don't wind up on a shelf somewhere. I've seen some Christians, they just quit and God put them on a shelf. Oh, and sometimes, by the way, they fill premature graves. Not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to tell you that's where it's at. Listen, some of the saddest words in all the Bible. "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." I used to say to my Bible college students, "Fellas, I don't worry about you when you've got one pinto bean to share with you and your five kids. I worry about you when you get the new suits and the fancy church and everybody taking care of you. That's when I worry about you, because that'll keep you from finishing." Paul said it well in 2 Timothy 4:7. Listen, he says, "I have fought a good fight." By the way, he didn't say he won them all. He didn't say he won them all. He said, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course." Yes. By the way, my course is different than your course. But it's all God's course. Let's finish it. And he said, "I've kept the faith." And in closing, don't you love to hear a preacher say those words? Aren't you glad tonight that Jesus finished well? I'll not sing the song, but I like it. He didn't come down. Oh no, he didn't come down. 10,000 angels. That's probably not biblically correct, because a legion's about 7,000. They had a lot of them. I know that. But bless God. Somebody said, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, listen, he didn't come down. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Doing, seeing, praying, not quitting, and finishing. Thank God for a good example from Asa in most cases. Shall we stand to our feet, please? Standing to our feet, our heads bowed and our eyes closed, please. As the musicians come, let me challenge you. Watch you start, finish. Finish it. We got enough quitters. By the way, don't quit on God. He hasn't quit on you. Amen. Here's a little thought as we get ready for the invitation. Don't give up until you've had reliable information that God is dead. Duh. By the way, whatever it is that stops you is bigger than your conception of God. Think about it. Failure, failure, failure equals failure, or failure, failure, failure equals success. Somebody said a success is a failure that picks up the pieces and keeps on going. With our head bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you, we have invitation. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing for God? I look out, I see most of you are doing something for the Lord. He judges that. Maybe you just say, brother, I need to start doing something. Time's passing. My life's going. Truth number two, do we understand God is looking down and seeing us? His eyes to and fro. Maybe you've been doing something, and we won't judge you if you come. That's between you and the Lord. But maybe you say, Lord, I just don't understand that you're watching and you're not happy with what you see. And how about your prayer life? Oh, lots to pray for. And then lastly, are you determined to remember what God's done? Are you determined to finish the race? God speaks to you as we sing a hymn of the invitation. You come.